Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Today's a good day to live up to my reputation. Today's a good day to free us up and scar the nation. No matter what you say, the rule will continue to play, play until the day we are repaid.
It is 7 after the hour. It's the Good Day Program. I'm Doug Steffen with my friends Jennifer Horn, Rich McFadden, Kara Schillen. The situation at the University of Missouri. Remember this from a couple of months ago when the president of the university had to resign because of protests by some of the black students on the campus? Well, there's a new fellow. There's a new sheriff in town, and he seems to be tough, I suppose, in the right way. Remember the old tough love from those people in Philadelphia that created that whole theory of tough love? You know what tough love is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is, remember? I remember, as a matter of fact, Bob, if he's listening.
When you're hard on somebody for their own good.
Right.
Right, exactly. There were a couple, there was a husband and wife who created the whole idea of tough love. I was working in Philadelphia at the time at WCAU, so this would have been 30 years ago, at least, when this concept was created, maybe a little longer than that. And the husband and wife were applying it to their children who were not acting appropriately. And you know how some parents, especially today in the helicopter world, helicopter parents, they coddle their children, spoil them, ruin them, all that stuff. Well, these parents were faced with a couple of children. I think there was one, but it seems to me, I remember interviewing them. Man, isn't this interesting? It comes back to my memory 34, 35 years after the fact. I think the guy's name was Steven. I can see him now, sort of short, graying hair, not a lot of hair. Why am I telling you that part of the story? Who cares? He didn't use Provia, let's put it that way. So they came up with this whole concept of this is what's fair, this is what's right, this is what you will do, or you will move out of my house. This is it. And it became this whole movement, and books were written about it, and you know, all kinds of stuff. So anyway, the new chancellor is Chuck Henson, whose portfolio includes a lot of diversity work, equality on campus and that sort of thing. He told them that he has no intention of caving into their demands. They thought because they got rid of the last president, okay, we're going to have everything we want. He wrote to them the following. You ready? Listen to this.
Okay.
If you sincerely want better relationships, the time for demands, threats, and arbitrary deadlines is over. You don't need them, and I won't have it. Remember the demands? This group admitted, this school, the University of Missouri, admitted the first black student back in 1950. And they wanted to have more black faculty. Let's see here. They want students to, if you have a bad semester, then you can delete that from. Wait a minute. Where do you do that? What school do you go to? If
right.
you have a bad course or a bad semester, you just
delete
it
mm-hmm.
from your reality. Hello.
You don't mind, do you?
No. All right. So
wouldn't
there's
that be
that,
nice then, if you could do that everywhere in life?
Yeah. They want $250,000 to expand the Black Cultural Center. Let's see here. They want a liberation house where students can go and no whites will be allowed. Statue of civil rights leader Lloyd Gaines. I don't know who he is. Anybody know who he is? I don't. He must be probably somebody that's important to the black movement, at least on campus there.
I know his
anyway,
brother, Capital.
Really? Good for you.
Capital Gaines.
So,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Right. Yeah. Capital Gaines. So this fellow, the new chancellor, invited group members to meet with him, but said many of their demands are DOA. They're not realistic. They're not legal. You can't tell me who to hire. You can't tell me who to admit. You can't tell me to meet quotas. They violate state law, federal law. You know, sort of get with the program. You know what I mean? That's mm-hmm. what he's telling them to do. And I think that it's good. By the way, this fellow, the interim chancellor, is a black guy. So
well, that's good, though.
I'm not playing those games.
Yeah,
not going to play those games. Good for him.
Yeah.
Todd Hollander is going to join us in a minute. He's going to help those of us who have small businesses. Richie, you're a small business person. Jennifer, you're a small business person. I'm a small business person. So how can we make out better as we work our way through this year, some of the pitfalls, the tax stuff, all that. So we have advice for small businesses in a moment here on Good Day.
America Weekend.
Where are they now? With Ahmad Rashad.
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova.
Boom! Pam Shriver!
So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised.
James just yelled at me for, I mean, I'm way above the court,
but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
He's a household name. He sold over 200 million books.
11 television specials have been based on his work. He holds two Academy Awards, two Emmys, a Peabody, and the Pulitzer Prize.
Yet his path to fame and fortune was neither direct nor easy.
His father wanted him to be a college professor. He wanted to be a cartoonist.
So for 15 years, he created promotional campaigns by day while developing his craft as a cartoonist at night.
His first children's book was rejected by 27 publishers, but his persistence paid off. Dr. Seuss became one of the foremost authors of children's books in history.
Decide what you want to do and then keep pushing to do it. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Want to make that perfect first impression? Well, there are three places to start. Here's the social science of it. In a new field of study called semiotics, or silent persuaders, advertisers have found that initial first impressions are based on three things. One, good hair. Two, clean teeth, and three, clear skin. It's an old standard, been around for thousands of years. In fact, it's likely part of our pre-wiring, but we assume that good hair, clean teeth, and clear skin are a sign of good health. As a result, all three put together equal well-being and make for a perfect first impression. What's the cheap psychological trick? If you want to make that perfect first impression, neatness counts, and clean is in. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
America Weekend.
14 past the hour. The Doug Steffen Good Day program. We're joined by Todd Hollander, who's managing director and head of business banking for MUFG Union Bank. The business banking group serves a lot of businesses, has become a good medium-sized bank. They had a small business economic survey that showed that small business owners are less optimistic this year because of uncertainty surrounding election implications. Certainly the interest rate thing has to be a worry for a lot of people. Half of business owners in this survey unprepared or don't know if they are prepared for interest rate changes. 44% of owners believe the Affordable Care Act is the most concerning election issue for them, followed by immigration, equal pay, and foreign trade. So after you got the results of this survey, where did your mind go, Todd? So you see the results. What do you do with this information?
Well, a couple things. So first of all, we've been doing this survey for 17 years, and the reason we do it is we really want to keep a pulse on our clients' attitudes, what they're hopeful for, so we can be in the best position to serve them. That was the first thing. The second thing is, they're a little more pessimistic than they were last year, but it's kind of a pattern that we've seen in an election year, especially an election year where you're going to change administrations, for sure. that creates more anxiety. And then also a lot of the global economic uncertainty, China, et cetera, is adding to more uncertainty. Those things are all true. But to keep it in perspective, last year was the apex of our survey of where optimism was the highest. We're a little off those highs, so we're nowhere near recession time or other times where the economy's looked really bad. Our business owners are by and large still pretty optimistic.
All right. So how much of this group are minority-owned businesses versus non-minority? And I don't even know how to define that anymore. I was talking about that a little while ago, whether it's a black-owned or Hispanic-owned or whatever other minorities might fit into the picture. Is that a factor here? Or do we have a well-rounded group of business owners that are being surveyed?
Yeah, we seek to have the survey mirror the populations in the communities we serve, and minorities are counted as women, veteran-owned, and minority-owned business owners.
Mm-hmm. So why do you do this survey? What does it do for you and your customers? This is something, and the reason I ask you this, I do business with a small bank. I love smaller banks. The big banks are just so out of touch, and I'm guessing that you did this because it does help separate you from some of the huge banks that are around the country, right?
Yeah, well, we consider ourselves a kind of a big enough to matter and small enough to care bank. So what it allows us to do is stay very close to the attitudes of the people we serve. And then also when we're looking to design products and services or really put our associates in a place to be a trusted advisor to those businesses, keeping a normal calibrated pulse on the market and finding out what people are thinking, both customers and non-customers, has been very valuable for us.
Well, what I find most interesting here is that, to go back to looking at the results, the number of people who believe the Health Care Act is the most concerning. This is where the rubber meets the road because of what you have to provide your employees. And it doesn't make any difference whether you're minority or not. It's very sobering, is it not?
It is, and I think there's still a large degree of uncertainty and a lack of awareness about what the Affordable Care Act actually means to the business owners. So I think that's fueling why it popped up so high in the survey on the list of concerns.
All right. So when you look at this, how active will these people be, do you think, in working the election out? I'm looking, we're having, of course, the results of primaries, and people say, well, Trump is this and Trump is that, or the other guys are this, that, or the other thing. One of the reasons that I think Trump and Bernie Sanders are getting as much traction is because they're addressing these things that are egregious, and nobody else seems to be addressing them. Would you say that that is something you could take from your survey as well, that these people would be headed toward voting or supporting either of these two candidates because of their feelings, their concerns about where the business community is going?
Yeah, you know, I think business owners, like the general population, vote with their pocketbooks and their conscience. So, you know, taxes, regulation, environmental issues, minimum wage, interest rates and economic stimulus are all also things that people cited as concerns. So I think wherever they feel that their vote is going to be best cast to help their business and help their families, I think that's where they're cast them.
What I find most interesting is that people just don't get the people that are protesting, you know, let's tax all these businesses and stuff. They just don't understand where the jobs come from. It's very must be very frustrating for you and so with the business owners to have to deal with that reality. I find it very frustrating, frankly. All right. Where's the website is unionbank.com. You want to find out more about what they do or the results of this survey. It's unionbank.com. Thanks to Todd Hollander here to help us understand what this particular group of people thinks is the future. Thanks, Todd.